This is Normie from ZombieCast and Knuckleballer Radio, and you're listening to Sean from Horribly Awkward.
This is Aaron from The Hollywood Outsider, and thanks for listening to Horribly Awkward. You're going to feel uncomfortable when this is all over.
Hey, thanks for listening. This is Jesus Gonzalez from the Horrible Gamers Podcast, and you're listening to IAMS on Horribly Awkward,
This is Scott with the Gaming Outsider Podcast, and you're listening to Horribly Awkward. It's not horrible, but it definitely is awkward.
Hey, this is Faye at Faye Plays on Twitter, and this is Horribly Awkward.
I can't even control myself. It's so horribly awkward.
This is so awkward.
This is horribly awkward, and I want off.
Welcome to the fifth episode of Horribly Awkward. I'm your host today, Sean. As always, another great podcast and another awesome guest. Today, I'm doing something different. We're doing a smaller episode. We're just going to focus on one topic, and today's topic is anxiety, which I personally suffer day to day. And I have somebody here who's Gabe Olea. You guys have all heard. I've pimped him on the show from the Uncanny X-Bros. What is up, Gabe?
What's going on, Sean? Thanks for having me, man. This is a pretty dangerous topic, but I think it's something me and you tackle with, and I think it's something we got to address, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to get in. Like, I want to do little episodes, I guess, so everyone let me know. Like, reach out to me on Twitter, awkward underscore podcast, or just search horribly awkward. You'll find it. You'll see my little nerdy picture that I drew. Or, you know, send me an email, horriblyawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. Send me, I want to know feedback. I want to get your feedback on how you feel about smaller things like this. And, you know, how you like them compared to the official show. We're not going to do skits. We're not going to do all the other stuff, rapid fire questions and stuff. But I will have Gabe back later to do that, correct?
With my bros, yes.
Yeah.
We'll come on and wreck up shop, dude. Wreck shop.
Yeah, that would be awesome, you guys. So also, send me a voicemail, man. I'm going to pimp my voicemail, 510-600-3475. That's 510-600-3475. I do have a voicemail from Normie. She left me one, so I will play that on this week's episode, which I will be recording on Sunday with Mike and Gidget from the XD Experience. That's going to be awesome. But we're not talking about that right now. We are talking about Gabe. Gabe, dude.
What's up?
Why are you freaking out, bro?
I'm not freaking out. I haven't done a one-on-one podcast before, so this is a little new for me, man. Usually I got my boys, my bros to back me up when I go feel a little insecure, but feeling pretty good right now, dude. So let's continue.
Yeah, you know, one-on-ones are great, dude. It's easier to conversate one-on-one because – you know, I know how you probably feel on Uncanny too. You got a lot of stuff to say, and if three people have a lot of stuff to say, it's kind of hard to get it all in.
For sure. Yeah. The thing is, I think when I started the podcast, I think getting just the intro in was pretty nerve-wracking and a little anxious for me, just to kind of make sure I got it right. And I remember Sean Freeman was like, "Dude, the first 20 seconds of your show is going to dictate the rest of your show, and you just got to come out guns blazing." I'm like, dude, I don't have your personality. I can't do that. But it seemed to work so far, man. So far, so good.
Freaking Sean Freeman. Sean Freeman from ZombieCast and Knuckleballer, man. That was bad advice. That was bad advice, dude. That's because Sean's so good at it. He's so, like, amped up and full of energy. But let's talk about our stuff.
Well, he's got the voice, man.
Yeah,
he's got the voice.
He does, man. Much love to Sean. I give Sean Freeman love all the time, man.
I wouldn't be doing this with you if it wasn't for Sean. For the crew, I wouldn't be doing any of this, dudes. You would probably never have met me, so.
Yeah, same thing. This horribly awkward wouldn't start, because that's where it all spawned on an episode of Knuckle Bars. So let's talk about our anxiety, man. I deal with anxiety like every day, all day. I get in my head a lot, you know, like I even get anxiety going through a drive-thru. Do you get anxiety going through a drive-thru?
No, man. You know what? Anxiety is pretty interesting because it's – how can I explain it, man? So you've mentioned before you get social anxiety. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I get social anxiety. I don't like to make eye contact.
In what regards? Like, explain it. And maybe I can see if either I relate or my anxiety is a little different.
Maybe it's like, it could be like, it could be low self-esteem. I have very, very low self-esteem. I have like low confidence issues. I mean, I'm an open book, man. When it's on a microphone, I'm a little more open. So I'll just be open. It's hard for me like to be around people. I just get in my head too much. I feel like I'm doing the wrong thing. I don't like to let people down. I don't like to make eye contact. It's hard for me to make eye contact. I start thinking about making the eye contact and like, then I have to look somewhere else. And I start thinking, oh, is it obvious I'm looking somewhere else? And
oh, okay.
I've
never experienced that type of anxiety. But regardless, the feelings that we get in anxiety, I think as far as physical and what we think inside our head may be the same, but your social anxiety is a lot different than the anxiety I go through. For instance, my anxiety recently, I had a relapse because back in, I want to say a few years ago, I'm just going to kind of get a little personal. Me and my wife were at 40, we're expecting a child. His name was Ryan. And before she was coming to terms. And a few months before that, we were told by the doctors that after we took a test and before we went on our 40th birthday party to Vegas, and she was pregnant at the time. So she knew going into the party that we weren't going to reschedule it and so forth. So at that time, we were told at a doctor's appointment before that the baby may have Down syndromes. And that really rocked our world mentally. But after coming to terms that regardless of what he was going to have, we were going to be okay with it. At that time, though, I started to feel very bizarre physically and mentally. And something was coming on, and it definitely was anxiety. I think it was it was that feeling of uneasy, the feeling of dread you get when you get the anxiety, the feeling of like you have no control of your actions, of your feelings. Very alone, you could be in a room with all your family, but for some reason, it's just you and your thoughts, and that anxiety just makes you feel really, really alone.
Yes.
The health anxiety started kicking in around that same time. So a health anxiety that I always get when I do get my anxiety is I always think that I'm going to have a heart attack. I think that's pretty normal with anxiety. People that suffer from it, you get the heart racing, you get the heart palpitations, you get like a dizziness feeling. You just get like it's hard to explain unless somebody's been through it. But
do you get it where you kind of
scary?
Do you get it where you feel like you have to, like I have to? Okay, now I have to concentrate on my breathing because if I don't concentrate on my breathing, I'm going to stop breathing.
Well, dude, I would literally okay. Because I didn't know what I was going through, and while we were in Vegas, my buddy James, well, everyone knows James, my uncanny ex-bro.
Uncanny.
I told him when we were driving around, check this out, dude. We're in Vegas, me and this guy, and we're looking for comic book stores all over Vegas. We could easily be on the strip, gambling, drinking, having a good time, but no.
You guys
driving around the city.
You guys are nerds.
Living up to our name, and we're driving around looking for comic book stores. But during that time, I'm like, dude, I just don't feel right. I go, my chest hurts like hell, and I feel like I've never felt this way before. So I had told my wife that night what was going on, and she was like, I don't know what to tell you. I was like, so me and James were driving around looking for comic stores, and every time we were looking for comic stores, I was looking for a stupid hospital or an urgent care close by that I knew if it got bad, I would say, James, take me there right away. And that's what the anxiety cycle does, man. When you're going through like a health anxiety, you get this feeling of dread that you can't explain. I don't wish anxiety on my worst enemy. I really don't, because it's super scary, and it's something that when it gets that entrenched in your mind, you can't escape it until you start to work on it.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing this stuff because this I don't really deal with all that stuff.
Exactly. It sounds like we're going through two different types of anxiety.
Yeah, this is great, man. So like, I'm hearing some new stuff. This is what I want. I would like to do smaller shows, I guess, where I get people on here to talk like serious stuff because some people out there might listen and go, you know, this is what I'm dealing with, and I didn't know what it was.
So going back to that story is that I never went to the urgent care or to a hospital while we were there. But the last day of the trip, we were getting ready to head out from the Aria where we stayed at back to Tucson, okay? We had a group of friends with us, plus James and his wife and my wife. So we're driving back. I could honestly say that trip was a bust for me because I felt shitty most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And but I'm glad we were there to celebrate for my – there was a few times that I was really happy. We got to go out to dinner for the wife's birthday and stuff. But on the drive back, we're like headed to a little out of town on the outskirts. And I told my wife, I go, I don't think I can make it all the way back home in this ride. I said, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. Something's wrong with me physically. So sure enough, man, we're at a Dairy Queen, and I had to get out to because I was hyperventilating. I was breathing really. I just didn't know what to do. I hadn't experienced this before, and I said, take me to the – we went to the local hospital, which was like a hole-in-the-wall type of hospital, but it was really nice. These people were super caring. I went in. They took my blood pressure. They put me on an EKG. They actually took blood from me to check out and stuff. Turns out – everything came back fine. Heart was fine. EKG came out fine. And while I was there, they gave me some Ativan, which is for anxiety. It's like an emergency anxiety pill. It's got a generic form called lorazepam, which is what I know it as, but a lot of people know it as Ativan. So I took it. Dude, literally within 30 seconds to a minute, I could feel that thing working.
Oh, nice. And
by the time we were back, after they told me what it was and the Ativan was in my system and I calmed down, I literally slept from that town all the way almost back to Arizona because they had given me more than probably what I'd ever had before in my life. And I was out. I crashed out. But, dude, from that point on, for the next 3 months, I went on a vicious cycle of anxiety to the point where I went to the ER 4 times. I had to stay at a hospital 1 time. And it was all because I kept on having health anxiety, thinking I was having a heart attack. Because what I was doing, because I'd never experienced this before, I was going on Google. I was going on WebMD. I was going on all these medical searches to explain what I had. And instead of me realizing it was just anxiety, I was looking for something more. I was looking for something like, oh, no, it's your heart. Oh, you've got angina, or you've got this with your heart and this and that. And you know it's your heart. And, dude, it was super scary. I lost – in a matter of 3 weeks, I had lost about 18 to 19 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. I went 4 days without sleeping. Which is super scary because then you start seeing things and you start feeling things.
I've done all that, but not because of anxiety. I've done the no sleep for a week, man.
But yeah, man, I did that for no sleep, and that was pretty scary. I don't recommend that to anybody.
No, dude, that sounds super scary. It's like your body's just telling you, "I need out of this situation now. I just need I need out of this body."
Exactly. And during that time, I was talking to a friend of mine who was becoming a doctor. And at the time, she was a nurse. And, dude, somebody put her in my life at that time, or something put her in my life at that time to help me get better. Because not only my wife's support, but and family support, my mom, too, as well, who kind of helped along the way, this girl, good friend of mine who was becoming a doctor, basically sat me down, explained to me what I was going through because she went through it too, because she had lost her parents as well about a year before that. And she knew the medical terms of the anxiety and what symptoms she could literally figure out to a T what I was going through, and she knew exactly what it was. But my mind at the time didn't understand that. No matter what she said, I didn't believe her. I always thought it was something else.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be on WebMD, man. You just go down that rabbit hole. I do it all the time.
They tell you, do you?
By the time I'm done, I'm convinced I have cancer, I've got AIDS, I've got brain tumors. Like
that is so normal for people with anxiety to go
on WebMD. Exactly, yeah. So many things have the same symptoms. So you just be like digging.
So, for 3 months, it was like to a T. But the weird thing is that happened July August, September, and by Halloween of that year, I was pretty much between the antidepressant medication I was taking, the Ativan I took when needed, when I had an anxiety attack, and then just the talking to like a therapist and stuff like that. All that stuff, and then just talking to my family and getting through it, basically cured me of the anxiety in a matter of like three months. And then I never experienced it ever again for almost July of this year. But check this out, dude. July of this year, the end of the year around my wife's birthday, it came back.
Oh.
I relapsed. And for 3 years, I had no anxiety. Nothing, dude. Nothing.
What triggered it, you know?
I'll tell you. I think I know exactly what triggered it. My son, who's 8 years old, Eric, who plays football, was going for his sports physical. Okay? And while he was at just a local clinic to get the sports physical done, the doctor that was looking at him told my wife, she was feeling around, she said, "Hey, I think your son may have an enlarged spleen." Okay. Oh. Well, she left the doctor. So for that, so I'm driving, I'm doing my work, and I get a text saying, "Hey, we just left the Minute Clinic, and the doctor said your son may have an enlarged spleen." Dude, I'll shit you not. That text, I think, is what triggered it, because from that point on, to what I looked up on Mayo Clinic or WebMD, that the sign of an enlarged spleen in a child was like leukemia. Dude, that literally
triggered. Imagine.
Yeah, it triggered my anxiety coming back. It was so bizarre, and I really think that's what it was. Well, that text up until maybe 3 weeks ago is what – I'm barely getting over it again. I went through another three-month – relapse of anxiety, and it went from that text, which turns out my son didn't have an enlarged spleen, turns out everything was fine.
Oh, thank
but
God.
That didn't mean anything. From that point on, it started the whole vicious cycle of anxiety again.
Yeah, that sounds kind of like an addiction. I'm not saying that you're addicted to feeling, but it's kind of like it can go away for a long time. It just takes one step back in the
rabbit hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's triggered again. And it's weird because even though it was gone, it's like, it comes back. And I'm not saying in a drug addiction and your health anxiety is the same, but it's kind of like if I were to relapse and use drugs, like you said, you had a relapse, say I would do that, it would be back. My addiction would be back the same way the day I left it. And kind of feels
and
like
feeling the same way as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of feels like that's what you're going through. Like it goes away and you feel good. And all of a sudden, like something triggers that. And it's like, boom, it's back 100%.
Well, think about it. Now that just talking to you, the two things that triggered it was my children.
Yeah.
The one was my, and I didn't mention earlier, I mean, a little bit more personal. I'm going to get the child that we thought we were going to have Down syndromes with. That January of the following months, that January, which was our anniversary, we lost our child. We had a stillborn.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we lost our son. But by then, I already come to grips with my anxiety, and I knew how to deal with it. So that when we lost him, my wife started to go through it because she was going through depression as well as anxiety because of losing her child. I was able to come in as a good support system, knowing what I already had been through months before that. That I was actually I turned into be like her superhero for a little while, where I was able to take care of the boys, take care of the family, take care of finances while she was going through the depression of losing our child. So it turned out that at that time that when I got over my anxiety, I was actually able to help her out at the time and help the family as well. And like I said, it went 3 years of not ever having anxiety again until recently that text that I got from my wife. And you know what stinks, dude, is that when I got that text, we had just started the Uncanny X-Bros podcast, and we were like two or three episodes in. And for the next 3 months, even though we were doing episodes, these last 3 months that you've heard those episodes, dude, I was going through probably the worst anxiety that I'd gone through since that I was years ago. But yet I was able to keep myself composed in order to do shows and still go to work every day and not let my kids see me go through it. But dude, it was exactly the same as it was years ago.
Yeah, so going all those years when you were like free from it, were you taking medication or was it just
none? Nothing. Nothing. I'm a big okay. People that go through anxiety and after listening to anxiety podcasts, they really, really stress in not taking. They tell you to. They don't. They think medication's there, but they don't believe in it. They don't believe in. They think it's just big pharma trying to get people to stay on medication because it makes billions and billions of dollars, and they don't believe in it, and they think you can get off of it without it. Dude, I'm here to tell you, I would not be able to work these last 3 months if it wasn't for medication.
Yeah. The thing, I kind of get what they're saying. It's like when you're on it and you stay on anything, it could be painkillers, it could be anxiety and medicine, it could be anything. When mm-hmm. you stay on it for so long, your body relies on it. So like you're basically, you know, you got to stay on it, or else
you got to be smart about it.
Yeah,
If you've got an addictive personality, I don't recommend going on medication. But see, I don't.
I do.
See, I don't. I'm one of those people that I take it for what it's meant to be, and then if I don't need it anymore, I'm one of those people that could stop cold turkey and not look back.
It won't get in my system
to be like, I need it.
I got addictive personality. It's like anything. It could be with like drugs, street drugs or anything. That's why I've stayed away from that stuff for 8 years, because if I ever were to touch it, I know already, like, the thought of just being stuck in that cycle again, it freaks me out, dude. Absolutely. It melts my brain to think about it. I mean, anything, like, I didn't want it. Like, I was telling you guys on the Uncanny X-Bros last time, I don't want to collect those pops. I don't want toys. And I wake up one morning, my roommate's like, hey, I bought these for you because I know you like
them. I saw that.
I'm like, no. So he got me two of those, the pops for like Bioshock, which I love Bioshock. And I was like, dude, I don't know if this is a gift or a curse, man. Now it's going to start it. And what I do the next day off, we're driving around the GameStops looking for the little sister.
The little sister. Would you get a Big Daddy or a Songbird?
I got the Songbird. Big Daddy, I don't like it because it's gold, but I didn't want it because my addictive personality.
You want the whole set.
It spawns everything. Yeah, something, all that stuff. I mean, it could be video games, and I want to collect them all. And then that's why I kind of stopped buying physical media. I started buying digital because I don't feel as obligated to collect it the same way. I mean, we're totally venturing off topic, but
no, it's okay. It's part of your addictive personality.
Yeah, it is, dude. It's all. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, I didn't want to build a gaming PC because I knew if I built a gaming PC, I'm gonna start adding shit. It's not the money. I mean, I have the money. I got enough money to buy the parts. It's the fact that, like, it'll work my brain. I'll spend weeks just researching stuff and cross referencing everything. What's the best? Like price versus availability versus all this stuff, man.
It just messes with your head.
Oh yeah, man. I'm an overthinker. I'm an overreactor. I'm a over everything. I'm not an overachiever, unfortunately.
Do you? Okay. So now that we'll get back to mine as well, but yeah. I mean, this is your chance. You tell me kind of like where your anxiety came from.
I'm here for you, man.
No, dude, but I want to know like in similarities where we differ, I mean, on different spectrums, or we've got some similarities in our anxiety. I mean, tell me your story.
Yeah, well, you get a little panicky and stuff. I do get that panic sometimes. Mostly if I drink an energy drink, I get real panicky. So I try not to drink those anymore. Like, I'll start convincing myself I can't breathe, I'm gonna have a heart attack. But mostly my things around being social with people, being face to face. I can do this over Skype. You know, like, I used to feel really uncomfortable doing the mic thing. That's why I kind of forced myself to do the cam. That's why I'm forcing myself to use camera more often. I get a lot of that anxiety. I get anxiety going through a drive-thru. Like, I'll order the order 15, 16, 35 times in my head. So when I get to the drive-thru, I can order it quick and just get through, because I get the anxiety of stopping the person behind me from getting through the drive-thru quick. Like, I get all panicky, and I'm, like, trying to get my wallet out. My muscles tense up, and I'm like, I don't want to, like, cause problems for the person behind me. I don't know what it is. Like, as if the...
Do you think it's an OCD type of thing?
Yeah.
Obsessive-compulsive disorder?
I definitely have that. I definitely have that. Okay. Yeah, like, when something...
I think we all do to a point.
Yeah, but when something's on my mind, it's on my mind, and it repeats. I had a fallout with a friend a couple of years ago. real close friend that I was kind of opening up to stuff like this, and stuff didn't work out. You can't. It's sometimes it's hard to be friends, real close friends, with a guy and a girl. Like, it's, you know, without strings attached, it just like mm-hmm. there's. Sometimes it's really hard to be like besties, let's say, quote unquote. But like, it kind of was going that way. Things fell apart. I went to like a real bad depression. Like, I felt like I had a someone I can like open up to, but then I didn't anymore. So I felt like I closed off.
Kind of alone.
I went to a really bad depression. Like, and that it just was on my mind. I couldn't get it off, and I couldn't be happy. I couldn't be anything. All these problems that in my life that I was blocking out, they all came in at once. It was from all directions, and it was just, it screwed me up.
And it's funny how that happens, yes. too. When it rains, it pours.
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's when I, like, met the guys through the Horrible Gamers. We all met through a group called This Xbox Life. It was another fantastic podcast. You guys should all listen to that. That's where we all spawned from. But we all met and started playing games, and then we just all started talking about, let's record a podcast. You know, a podcast would be great. Recording a podcast for the past year and a half, and then now doing the Horribly Awkward podcast. I'm able to relieve a lot of this anxiety. I'm getting really? I'm getting closer. Like you get on, and I'm like, Gabe, what's up, man? You don't want to get on. You want to get on camera? Turn your camera on. Like before, I would probably just keep my camera off or just like be closed out about it. But I'm trying to force myself into these situations, and in these one-on-one conversations, it's helping a little by little. It's helping. It's actually helping a lot.
Okay, so what are your besides this and. What do you notice everyday things that help you with your anxiety? What helps? What has helped you in the last year or so?
Mostly.
Or what are things that you go to be like, okay, this I know I can go to because it's my safe place or my safe thing to do? Is it podcasting?
Podcasting, yes. Podcasting is the main one. I mean, just having a Facebook group, you know, like for Horrible Gamers where I can kind of – chit-chat back and forth. You know, I've met a lot of friends through podcasting, a lot of people that I'm friends with. Even on you, we'll bullshit about some stuff back and forth on Facebook Messenger. You know, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be podcast-related. Yeah. I got a lot of people like that I normally wouldn't have. Like, and it feels – it's good. It's, you know, maybe I'm not close friends with all these people, but bits and pieces from everywhere feels like I've got support if I, like, need to just bullshit with people.
Absolutely, yeah. Just like the messages I was sending you a couple of days. I needed a vent, dude, and I thought, this is the one guy that I think I can vent to, and he'll totally understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, man. I'm a terrible texter sometimes, so, like, I'll conversate with someone through text for, like, 5-10 minutes, but there's the point, like, where if text messages go back for 20 minutes and it looks like I'm lagging, like, sometimes I'm playing a video game, and I have to pause.
Fine, dude.
Yeah. But like I like when people, even if people reach out to me, man, it makes me feel good. Like, oh, look at Sean's the guy I want to reach out and vent or tell or ask a question or get some advice from. That makes me feel good. I mean, all that stuff, dude, it's great.
So those little things help you when you do when you get your anxiety at its what's your anxiety at its worst? What would you call it on a like within a day if you get it really bad? What tell me what Sean does or what does it feel like for you?
Well, like I'll get it sometimes for work because I'm the guy who does the pressure washing. There's one guy at my company that does it. It's me. So
okay,
it's like I can't really call in sick. If I call in sick, all I'm doing is making up days later. So I'm like, I'll miss a day. Say I miss a day or two from this week. So, and then I'll have to put those days next week. So I'll just be double packed next week. So that stuff gets me anxiety. Just knowing I have all this stuff and I'm getting more and more work as time goes. Ooh, look at that.
Okay, when you say it gets you anxiety, does it come in a physical feeling or does it come in a mental feeling?
That stuff comes in a physical feeling and a mental feeling. When I know okay. I have like extra work and I get, here's work orders, all of a sudden I walk into work and I got 4 work orders of stuff to do on top of my night's work, I start getting anxiety over it. I start getting angry, start getting stressed out. If it's a panicky feeling, it just, oh man, it's terrible.
Do you pace around or do you kind of do some deep breathing or do you... What do you do to kind of relieve it?
I don't know if I do anything, man. I just do the work, man, and deal with it. I'm one of those guys that just keeps everything bottled up until it pops.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, see, the reason why I'm asking these questions is that when I went through my anxiety the first time, I lost all that weight and I got really depressed with it because I'd never been through it before. I stayed at home. I took a Family Medical Leave Act type of thing through work.
Okay.
And I stayed at home, dude. And that's the worst thing I could have done after going through this current relapse that I'm getting better of it finally. I found that the best thing for me is to go to work, is to be around people, is to go to work. Even though I was quiet around people, even a couple friends, a couple of days were like, dude, you don't look good. I go, I'm going through some stuff mentally, but I'm here. But I found that getting up every morning, going through a routine, doing certain things, just getting out of the house and actually tiring myself out with like a 10, 11-hour day of work, coming home and then still having enough energy to hang out with the kids but still going through the anxiety, I found that that actually helped me more than anything this time.
Yeah,
was work. Work really helped as opposed to last time. It not working really screwed me up.
My schedule is completely different than yours. So I'll wake up at 3 p.m. and I don't even like to do stuff on days at work because I work at 9 p.m. That's the time I start.
Uh-huh.
So I don't like to go to the movies. I don't like to go handle errands. I don't want to do anything because I need to be – I just need to hang out and have as less stress as possible. I don't know what it is, but if I wake up and have to do something and then I run out of time and then I just come home to rush to work, it freaks me out. So I just kind of hang out until I go to work. That's my Monday through Thursday schedule. Fridays I'm off. But when I'm at work, I'm alone. I work alone. So I see the guys.
Do you like that?
Not at all. I see the guys I'm working with for the 20 minutes before I get my stuff ready and then take off. But no, I don't. I'm basically I'm alone at all times. Wake up and just kind of hang out. I have a roommate, so we'll chat. We talk shit back and forth, but then I go to work.
So when you're at work, would you prefer to be around a group yes. of your coworkers?
Oh, yes.
Okay, see, I'm the opposite. When I was going through my anxiety at its worst, I would get to work because I wanted to work, but because of my job, I would see all coworkers about 100 and some of them for the first couple hours of work. Then when I get in my vehicle and I work for the day, I couldn't wait to get into my truck and take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that.
Because then I have my thoughts to myself either, and I wouldn't listen to podcasts like I used to. When I'm going through my anxiety, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to talk to anybody, but I still want to be by myself doing something productive.
Yeah.
But I don't want to – it's like – it's weird. When I go through my anxiety, it's worse. Music, people talking, being around people, I can't stand it. Dude, when I was going through it and Gears had came out and you guys were playing, I so wanted to play with you guys. But because I was going through my anxiety at the worst, that – I didn't even want to do that because looking at the TV and seeing all these flashing lights, it actually bugged me to the point where I was like – as much as I want to play Gears, I don't care right now. I'm going through some shit and I need to work. And I'm thinking, man, this is the one game that I was waiting for forever to play with all these people and have fun with. And I'm not having any fun playing it. And now that I'm finally over it, I'm like killing it at that game again. I'm having a blast and there's no one there to play with.
Oh, I know.
Because everyone's like giving. They're like, okay, what's the next game? And I'm thinking, man, I missed the boat on Gears, man. It's like, but that, I mean, that's just little things like that really screwed me up when I was going through my anxiety. And it just stinked because my podcast, Gears, all this stuff was really things going on in my life really good that I could care less about because of going through my anxiety. It's bizarre, dude. Do you think anxiety is a mental disorder or a mental illness? What would you classify it as?
I think it's a disorder. I mean, I'm just guessing. I mean,
me too. No, I don't think it's an illness. I don't think we're sick. I think it's just something that's a brain chemistry. It's a certain, my friend doctor who went through, helped me through it again. She kind of explained how it worked and stuff like that through the physiological aspect of it. And a lot of it makes sense. Do you get up in the morning and you have more or when you do get up, do you get up with more anxiety than usual?
No, I just get up and I'm so sore. I'm trying to stretch and I slept so horribly. That's all I think about.
You don't have any anxiety then?
Nah, not really. Not really. I don't get it really till more. Mine's more of a social thing and maybe when I get to work, unless I know I have a lot of stuff lined up for work.
See, because I would get it really bad in the morning to the like a feelings of dread.
Yeah.
I would just feel like very alone and I would just like start pacing the house because it was so dark in here. Mornings were my worst. But once I got into my routine and like the kids got up, my wife got up, and I would get out the door, then I felt like, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do every day. But man, those mornings were really, really bad. And they say the reason why you get anxiety the worst in the morning is because your cortisol levels are at the highest. So you're more prone to have higher anxiety morning for people that are very anxious.
That makes sense, man. Gabe, you're never alone, dude. You can always, like, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to reach out to friends, but you can always send me a message, man. You can text me to my cell phone, whatever, man. It's like, just it's always all you, maybe just a couple sentences back and forth can relieve a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's good to know, man. If it ever comes back like it did, which I pray it never does, because on an anxiety strength level, like 10 being the worst and one being almost non-existent, I would say right now I'm like at a 1.5, 2.
Yeah, maybe because you're conversating on through a podcast?
No, I think it's because of I went back on the medication that I believe in.
Oh, okay.
I did a lot of support with this friend of mine. My wife helped me quite a bit. I looked up stuff, but I didn't look up stuff, bad stuff. I basically did the opposite of what I did 3 years ago. I kind of like righted my wrongs. Things that I was doing back then that weren't helpful to me, like going to the ER or going to get checked out, I didn't do that this time. And I realized what I was going through was just straight up anxiety. I wasn't having a heart attack. I didn't have this heart problem. I went one time to see my doctor friend. She gave me an EKG and she gave me an X-ray of my heart. She said, look, she sat me down, was really candid with me. And she said, look, here are your results. She goes, what I'm looking at is what most cardiologists would show like a group of their peers or a class and say, this is what a heart should look like. And this is what a heart should beat like. She goes, you need to reassure yourself that you're super healthy and that your heart's the right size. It's beating perfectly. You've got she's like, you're super healthy. So dude, honestly, from that point on, it's like, okay, that helped quite a bit. And I never thought about my heart ever again. But that doesn't mean I didn't go through anxiety, but it was just one component that gave me some type of reassurance that I was like, okay, relief. I'm feeling better. Yeah. So, dude, it was just, like I said, the strength level is like a 1 or a 2 now, and I can actually enjoy my podcast. I can start booking guests again. I can start, come on your show, dude. I can honestly tell you that if this was 2 months ago, I wouldn't have been able to come on this show.
Well, I'm glad you're here, man. I do love the Uncanny X-Bros, and I want to hear more podcasts, dude. You guys are slacking.
We are, but we actually had a little powwow, me and the guys, and we came to some days that we like, and we came to some tough love. I kind of had to tell them, like, hey, I'm ready to dump this thing if we don't all like decide on something. So we did, and we came. And so now, dude, this coming Sunday, real quick, I'm going to pimp it. We have Alex Sinclair, which is one of the top colorists in the comic book industry. This guy, we talked about him in the first two episodes, the famous Alex Sinclair story of James getting the statue. Yeah. So this guy, I reached out to him on Twitter, super nice. I asked him if he'd be interested in coming on. He said yes. This was a couple months ago. We kind of fell out of contact with each other. A few weeks ago, hit him up again. I said, hey, Alex, is this something you still would like to do? He said, let me check my schedule. And, dude, he gave us the green light for this Sunday.
Oh, nice.
We are super, super excited.
That is exciting.
Little nervous because we're trying to – because we're early and I've never interviewed somebody, like technically interviewed somebody before. I mean, you came on last week and you just BS'd with us, which was awesome. But to interview somebody and just like ask them technical questions about the industry and people they've met, oh man, dude, I'm giddy, but I'm also super nervous.
You just got to write down a couple of key ideas, man, and then most of it's gonna work its way into a conversation. You don't need a whole like format for it. It'll just happen.
Yeah, yeah. So have you ever interviewed anybody that you kind of thought was like a bigwig in the industry that you kind of like? In Horrible Gamers or just in any of your shows that you caught like, man, I got to get this right. Or
dude,
I
gotta do. Yeah, dude. Everybody I've had, dude. I mean, I try to reach out to people who I love and look up to in podcasting, and that's like doing the, like at first I was kind of nervous. Now I'm not so more. I mean, I would love to go for like a higher actor, but I mean, just having Normie and Ted on. And having my friend Faye on and you on and like Matt Bradford's supposed to do it in a couple weeks from Video Game Outsiders. He's supposed to come on. Like,
nice.
Like, man, I've listened to Video Game Outsiders.
Oh,
like
Matt, one of the that'll first... make you feel right. At
I know. I knew Matt's awesome. I played with him one time. We played like The Last of Us online. We didn't play for very long, but like just like stuff like that, man. I'm really looking forward to doing the XD experience. You know, having those guys on this show this week, and I just did a podcast. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't heard this week's episode of Horribly Awkward with all the good skits and all the fun stuff, I did one with Aaron Peterson from The Hollywood Outsider and The Blacklist Exposed. Really cool guy. I mean, like just having him on, I was really nervous the first couple minutes, but I found a way to turn it around and make him nervous. Sort of. Like, I was like, hey, dude, we're going to do some skits. He's like, we're going to do some skits. I'm like, yeah, we're going to do some skits. And we started recording, and we did a little skit, and it worked out. And, like, I don't think he felt nervous, but I was trying to turn it around on myself, throw myself out there, make myself feel a little uncomfortable, and that's how I like it.
Did – I heard the Normie episode, which was great.
Yes.
That was awesome. As far as the skits, I'm glad you're going to include me and the bros because I think it was just me and you, dude. I'm not – you would totally make me feel awkward doing a skit.
We're going to do a skit right now.
No.
Oh, here we go, man. Like, dude, Gabe.
I'm out. Gotta go. Sorry, dude.
I'm sorry, man. Like, you always drag me to these comic book stores, and I'm always looking at comic book stores. I see the prices. Like, why would you pay 55 cents for a comic book? It's a piece of paper with some drawings on it, man.
55 cents? Dude, we're talking $4.99 a comic book now.
Wait, $5? Well, this one says 55 cents. Should I just buy it then?
Sure. Go for it, man.
Hey, don't push me out of the way, man. I got this comic book. I'm buying it.
Dude, we're going to buy – let's see. What's the name of the comic book you got in your hand, buddy?
I don't know. It's called The O-Vengers.
The O-Vengers?
The O-Vengers.
Dude, you're in the ghetto section. You're in the independent ghetto section of the comic book store. Come down the aisle, dude. I'll show you.
No. I'm going to stay here.
The A-Vengers,
dude. No, shut up, Gabe. This is 55 cents. I'm staying here. I am ghetto. I'll buy the O-Vengers.
See the Walking Dread right there and the
– Yes. Yes! There we go, man. There's our skit. I'm going to put some music behind it. It's going to be so random. Great. It works, dude. This is just all you have to do is start talking, making up some shit. I'm good at making up shit, so it works.
Nice.
Well, dude, Gabe, thanks for coming on, man. I hope.
Thank you, man. Maybe I needed somebody to vent about this. This is like one more notch into getting better for my anxiety. And I hope this helped you a little bit, dude, because you realize there are different types of anxieties out there.
Yeah.
As well as
completely
the
different.
Social anxiety.
Yeah. Definitely opened my eyes to it. Well, I would like to do these smaller episodes where I just get on here and talk some real stuff with somebody. And I'm obviously not going to have the same issues as other people. It's just definitely not going to work out that way. Absolutely. So I like to hear and pretend. I like to pretend like I care about you, man.
Me too.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, real quick, dude. With this social anxiety, dude, I know one way that's going to help you and help. You're going to be trying to get down to San Diego Comic-Con with me and the bros next year, dude. We're going to hug you, and we're going to squeeze you, and we're going to hold your hand, and we're going to show you all around Comic-Con.
I don't do the hand-holding, but I do.
Well, I'll let Eric do that.
I do the hugs.
Right. You do hugs? Okay.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. We'll do the bro hug.
We'll do the bro hugs, dude. You're coming along with us, dude. If we can get you in, you're coming, man. You're coming. There's no anxiety whatsoever, dude.
My roommate too. He's big into comics and collecting stuff, man. He wants to go. He said definitely. He's like, not like I want to try to go. I was like, I want to go. So,
dude, we're gonna have an Uncanny X-Bros meetup with only the people that are cool enough to hang around with us, dude. So you feel right at home, man.
Yeah, awesome, dude. I'm looking forward to it. So, Gabe, man, pimp your stuff right now before we take off. I want to thank you again, man, but pimp your stuff. The Uncanny X-Bros.
All right, man. You can find me most of the time. I'm on Twitter, but find me. Dude, if you guys want, go to Facebook, Uncanny X-Bros. It's a private group. Send a request, and usually I respond to you within seconds, man. I check the feed constantly. You probably see that I post constantly. It's an incredible group of people. It's clean. There's no politics involved. There's no religion pushing. There's no. It's just a bunch of dudes and gals talking comic books, movies, toys, people showing off their collections, people showing off tons of memes.
It's a bunch of nerds.
Dude, I think Star Wars blew up the Facebook group the last 2 days, last night because of the trailer.
Yeah.
So, definitely find me there, Gabriel Olea on Facebook. Hit me up as a friend request if you'd like. You can even call me a pussy for talking about anxiety all this whole hour or whatever. But, dude, hit me up on Twitter at XXODUS, Exodus. I rarely post on Twitter, but I have been posting the last couple of days just to try to get this guy Alex Sinclair on our show. You can find me there. You can find me on Xbox Live at Onslaught 13 XXX, where I'm playing lots of Gears by myself, and I'm also playing some Destiny right now. You can hit me up there. Most importantly, you can find me on iTunes and Stitcher at the Uncanny X-Bros podcast, where I host a show that my buddy Sean's been on.
Yes.
And he was on our last episode, Horribly Uncanny, where we talked about Eric's wedding. We talked about Gotham. And you can find me there, man. You can check out our 7 episodes we did. We got got some guests lined up for the next few weeks. And I got my buddy Eric Smith and James Mazzone. You can find those guys as well on the Uncanny X-Bro. So that's it, bud.
Yeah, that's great, man. I definitely support and send all my love to the Uncanny X-Bros. And hopefully we're going to all network together someday and come up with a bigger idea where people we'll just have all the coolest people in one spot.
Dude, the better I'm feeling, the more ideas flow through this brain of mine, dude. So I'm ready to put in some work, man.
I'm gonna send you the vibes.
Well, you're coming along for the ride, dude. So
yeah, let's get in the convertible and just pimp that shit, roll down the street.
Oh yeah,
throwing our W's up in the air. West Coast.
West is the best.
So everyone knows, man. Find me on Twitter at horribly
Remix.
Okay, find me on Twitter at awkward_podcast, or send me an email, horriblyawkwardpodcast@gmail.com. I also have a Facebook page. You can find me on Facebook, just my personal thing, which is Sean Fuller. Look for me on there, and I love to have new friends. And at They Call Me Iams is my personal Twitter, and also all my video game gamer tags. At They Call Me Iams.
And look for Sean to pop up again on the Uncanny X-Bros in the near future.
Yeah, and also Jesus, man. Jesus Gonzalez from the Horrible Gamers, man. He'd love to come on, he told me. So
you guys are gonna hold hands and come on into the room and talk. We'll talk whatever you guys want to talk about.
No one's holding hands and coming, okay?
That's what you think.
Hey, you guys, do send me a
circle jerk, dude.
I want to hear from
circle jerk going on.
I want to hear from everybody. You don't have a voicemail to set up, do you, Gabe?
No, dude. We don't even have a live chat. We're lame, dude. We're like, we're still babies in the podcast.
We don't have
chat. We don't have voicemails. We don't have a cool intro like you do, dude. I'm your Padawan right now. You got to give me some tips.
I feel just like a rookie to give you tips, but I do have a voicemail. 510-600-3475. Send me a voicemail. I'd love to play it. I have one for Normie. I'm going to be playing it on Sundays, man. So look forward to Michael Caldwell and Gidget Lynn on from the XD Experience on Horribly Awkward.
Another incredible podcast, XD Experience.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys. So
they're awesome.
With all that said, thank you, Gabe, and goodbye.
Later. Listening to Gabe Olea, man, from the Uncanny X-Bros. I got my carnal here, Sean Iams Fuller, man. I think you should check out his show, man, Horribly Awkward. I got this other pendejo, Gabe Gabriel Olea on the show, and he's talking about the stupid anxiety, and like he's a little pussy about he needs to get his fucking balls, man, and just lift them up a little higher next time, man. So check out the show, man, and if you don't like it, I don't blame you. It's a piece of shit. Charlie Holmes, I'm out.
I'm definitely gonna put that on this episode, but that's way too long.
Cut that it was up hilarious, a little bit, dude.
I get nerdy at the end, man.
Quite nerdy.
Nerd, yeah. Ah, are you ready for this? Dum bum bum bum.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
You're just gonna do a little bumper, man. Let me stop recording so I can start a new one. If this makes it in my outtakes, goodbye.